Understanding the First Noble Truths, eight reality of human life, the reality of life and existence are very important, and they are the reality surrounding birth, old age, sickness and death. These are the first four. So aging is growing old with deterioration of physical and mental function and getting sick or be diseased is involving our physical and mental. So sometimes disease, not only physical, it conditions mental. That's why nowadays, even young people got mental problem, mental sickness. They got all this depression or what they call psychiatric type of problem. They need to see psychologists and psychiatrists. So mental problem is quite common nowadays because society has become more complex, more complicated, and a lot of information flooding the youth. And life has also become more fast-moving, very, very complicated. Even relationship also has changed dramatically. And the way we go about doing things also because of technology, AI, has changed so much. We become obsolete very fast. So you cannot cope with life. You cannot cope with changes, with situation. You will suffer. So this first four is more towards life itself for older people, maybe young people. They doesn't really pay much attention to this. But now with COVID-19, everybody is conscious of disease and sickness. Just one miserable virus can cause so much havoc to the world. Have you ever thought of that? It reminds me of this thing. Our human mind, when I developed the understanding of the Dhamma, I came up with this understanding. I have so many depressed people come out of it. I used to tell them, I say, it's only a thought. And this thought is a tool for you to use. It serves you. It's like a servant to you. But how come you can have such delusion to allow such thought to have such power to make you so miserable, so depressed, so unhappy, full of sorrow, lamentation, and sadness, and all those things? It's only a thought, true or not? Then how come he has such power? Who gives that thought such power? So in a similar way, you look at COVID-19, it's only a virus, isn't it? But because we don't understand this virus, we take things for granted. That's why the way we live our life, we have to change. We have to look at hygiene, cleanliness. And we have to boost our immune system. We cannot have late night, not enough rest, low immune system. Then we have to be very careful with what we breathe in, what we come into contact with, and what we touch. We cannot simply touch now. So you want to really develop all this understanding. There are a lot of things to learn. Even though it's only a virus, it's not easy to handle, isn't it? Do you realize or not? Because so much of it is unknown. So similar to the Dhamma, it's only a thought. But do you understand how complex that thought is? How cunning that thought is? How it can deceive you, delude you, and climb over your head and take over your life? If you allow thought to live your life, you will have suffering, you will have problem. Because thought is egoic. Thought is limited. Thought does not want to die. So because thought must not die, he said. Because this thought is a, if I die, then I cannot control living being. And living being doesn't want the thought to die, because to them, without thought, how to live life? They always believe they need thought. Thought is the basis of life. Without thought, there is no life. But when you meditate, you will come to understand thought is a tool for us to use. So we have to develop wisdom to use it wisely and arise the appropriate right thought. Not to use thought wrongly, to arise all the wrong thought that condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, suffering, misery. And not only we use thought wrongly to harm ourselves, hurt ourselves, but we use it to harm others, hit out at others when we get angry. We speak harshly. We develop all the motive, the deceitfulness, the cunningness, the anger, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy. All these are very negative emotion, negative thought that condition our evil roots, make us evil, that condition our suffering, our misery. So all of wrong thought has to be understood. Whenever you are miserable, unhappy, not peaceful, the wrong thought is there. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, scars of memory, unhappiness, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your delusion. So all these are wrong thoughts. So understanding wrong thought is very important. Then we have to change. We have to tell ourselves. The user of thought is very important. If the user of thought don't have wisdom, then thought become deluded, egoic. It will create havoc. But if the user of thought has wisdom, it will not be influenced or affected by thought. It will know how to use thought appropriately. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about right view leading to right thought. You must not have wrong thought. If you arise wrong thought, you will develop suffering, misery. Because wrong thought are thought that condition all your negative emotion, your evil roots, all of the whole mess of suffering will arise. That is the power of wrong thought. And who gave him such power? It's through delusion, ignorance. That's why we have to understand all this. Then we can actually straighten our view, develop the wisdom, the understanding. Then thought has no power to deceive us and delude us. Then we can use thought to arise the appropriate, wholesome thought, right thought, virtuous thought, useful thought, so that we can be a blessing to all, so that it can help us to develop a very good coming nature. That's why the advice of the Buddha comes from that right view, law of karma. If you want to have good life, you have to take care of karma. And how do we take care of karma? We have to avoid all evil, to purify our mind, develop the wisdom. That is what we do. So spiritually, when you have the understanding, then thought loses its power. Then you can make use of thought in a beautiful way. So likewise for coronavirus is the same. When you understand the inside out of this coronavirus, then you can develop the vaccine to treat the patient. Then coronavirus will not have power over living being. Then the vaccine can actually help cure many people. Then we learn that we cannot simply do things. So if we do certain thing that is in violation against the nature's law, especially if it starts to pollute nature, destroy nature, cause a lot of karmic negativity towards nature, or towards fellow mankind, animals, living beings, all the living things or creature. It will have its nature's law that will hit back, repercussion, in the form of cause and effect, cause and effect. That's why humanity will have to learn through what happened. So every crisis is a good learning curve. It makes them better. It prepares them for future occurrences and other things. So it is in a way self-learning, but this is a very expensive and painful way of learning because a lot of people don't understand the extent of its danger, its effect, until it hit and destroy the nation. It caused so much disruption to life, to the economy, to the way society behave and live. So a lot of things already happening, so we can see that, we can witness them. That's why it's something that we should actually, in a way, consider ourselves lucky that we live in an era where we can see so much things, so much new things that are evolving and unfolding. I call it the golden age. During my this life, I came into this world in the year 1954, after World War II, about 12 years after World War II. And by then, the education system has started to pick up. But in the 50s and the 60s, we are still so backward. But the last 40, 50 or 60 years, we have progressed so much, transformed so radically, until we can see our present civilization unfolding so beautifully. Of course, in between there, a lot of crises too. So the human race is a very unique race, very beautiful in its own unique way. But without wisdom, humanity will fall, mankind will fall. But so far so good, the consciousness always evolves in such a way that humanity learn and came back and restore their glory to be able to have the good life again. So hopefully this COVID-19 can come to pass in another maybe 2 or 3 months time. For us, we should see the result before the end of this month, I think. I think the curve has not shot up. Our numbers has been curved. It doesn't reach the parabolic effect, spiraling effect of new cases. You look at certain countries, especially United States. Wow, they really, every day new cases almost 19 to 20,000. No? They shot up to 160 over 1,000 within less than 10 days. It's fantastic. So the way you see is happening, and today I was told about 1,000 deaths in the States. So it's pretty serious, not easy. So many things are unfolding. So hopefully we can learn. These are the realities. So we move on. Number 5, the 5th reality is confronting separation from our loved ones and prized possession. Now this one you have to reflect, contemplate, develop the wisdom. But this one is also part of the 5 daily contemplation. The 4th daily contemplation is this confronting separation. Then the first 4 belong to the first 3 contemplation of the 5 daily contemplation. Then the 5th daily contemplation is about the law of karma. Okay, then we move on. The 6th condition is when we are being with people we don't like or we dislike. So most people cannot take it. They will suffer. They will become afflicted. Who are the people whom we dislike? For the lady who are married, maybe mother-in-law, very obvious. Then for those who are in the career field, you have bosses that are not so friendly. These are the people who you don't like. And when you are confronted with your superior that take advantage of you, or you have neighbor who are very difficult, and sometimes you can also have bullies who bully you, especially in school. having children or students, some of them are subject to all this and they are affected. And also, when you go through life, certain type of people whom you really don't like because they could have abused you, they call it child abuse, or in the office it's called sexual harassment and all those things. So these are the things that will happen. And the next one is when our expectations in life are not met, when we cannot get what we want in life, when things don't go our way. Again, this reality gives rise to a lot of suffering. But you have the Dhamma, all this has no power over you. So the first seven, it can actually summarize to you all of the realities of life and existence. Whatever you do, they are within this seven. Of course, there's eight, number eight. So whatever that is not covered under the first seven, the number eight will cover. So the Buddha summarized all of the First Noble Truth reality. In short, it is these five aggregates of grasping that I call dukkha. So the upadana khandas, our five aggregates of form and mind. As a human being, we have a physical form. That is the form aggregate, rupa. Then we have a mind, a consciousness that has the aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental states, emotion, and all those things. And finally, we have consciousness. So you want to understand the four aggregates of mind is very easy. We just have to inquire, what can our mind do? Our mind can feel. That's why there's an aggregate of feeling. Our mind can perceive things. There's an aggregate of perception. Our mind can give rise to mental activity, mental thinking, planning, scheming, mental states, emotion. So all this are sankhara activity, content of consciousness. Then finally, our mind can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. So combine these four aggregate of mind and the physical body, the Buddha said, this human being, so-called human being, is the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the first aspect. Then every moment of consciousness, the Buddha said, you have the four aggregate of mind. But then the perception aggregate brings the external form into the mind. So every moment of sense experience, whether it's seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness or smell, taste, tactile feel or thought consciousness, the aggregate of form, the external form or the mental form, they will go in through the aggregate of perception. So this mental form together with the four mind aggregate form the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. And that is the important one. In meditation, we're supposed to see that. That is what the Buddha referred to under the Paticca Samuppada, dwelling, dependent origination. So you see that, you will understand. Then the final summary, the five grasping aggregate, after you have understood these two aspects of the five aggregate, then you can investigate into it, you put it to test. If I attach to the physical form, do I suffer? You definitely suffer if you have meditated before or you have reflected and contemplated. Because according to the Buddha, this body is non-self. It's made of the four elements. Without knowing, it can never be you. It goes the way of nature. That's why if you attach and cling to this body thinking it's you, and you want this body to be forever young, don't get sick, don't get old, don't die, it's not possible because it is not self, not you. It goes the way of nature. That's why we are told to reflect and contemplate the first three of the five daily contemplation. This body of mine is all the nature to grow old, get sick and die, or yes, not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So this is a very powerful contemplation. When you do that, you will not be deceived by this physical body. If this physical body is non-self, then why do you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die? It's a vehicle and a physical form for you to use. Use it. Like your car, use it. It doesn't belong to you. That's why if you want to take care of it, maintain it, then it will last you longer. But when it is beyond economical repair, why must you go and repair it or lament over it? The car is the car, let it be. So you need to change over to a new car. Change. But you must have the money to buy the new car. But our karmically conditioned physical body is different. We cannot say we want to change, we change. Because we cannot simply change. But if you have good merits, develop good karmic treasury or wholesomeness, you have a lot of this. Then after this physical body has done its part, then you can have a new body in the form of a new rebirth body. So when the new rebirth body comes, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. And then, depend on your karma, what type of body you're supposed to have, it will appear. So it's like you have a lot of money, you can afford a very nice car, you can have it. But otherwise, you can't even afford a proper car. Then you have to walk. They call it the Volkswagen. You walk. So that is the aspect. Then coming to the other aggregates of mind, say, you're attached to feeling, attached to what you perceive. You can investigate on it. Attached to your feeling, your emotion, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. You check whether you suffer or not. You want things your way, you sure suffer. Your attachment is clinging, craving, wanting things your way, which is not Nietzsche's way. That you're attached to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, or whatever you perceive. You can also suffer because attachment leads to suffering, conditioned suffering. Like the Buddha say, this very body also don't belong to us. Then how can we own anything? That is foolish. Only the fools lament. That's why the fools will lament. My son, my loved one, my possession, my property, my wealth, my house and all those things. All this, the Buddha say, only the fools, the foolish one lament. For their very body also don't belong to him. Then Varen's house, Varen's car, Varen's property and possession. So all this, they are all clearly taught in the teaching of the Buddha, essential Dhamma.